Let's go. You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, our first podcast of 2021. And let me tell you, we're bringing the heat, bringing a big one. We've got just a badass, Casey Curry, social media star, Dakar Rally winner, all-around off-road badass, and sat down with him for a good solid 30-plus minutes talking about his big switch to Polaris Razor for this year, the Dakar Rally that is currently going on. He's last year's winner. And a whole lot more. So great time with Casey Curry. But welcome all of you to the show. If you haven't already, please go over to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button, and please leave a rating while you're there, 1 through 5 stars. Won't tell you how to rate us, but please drop us a quick rating. It definitely helps us out a ton. If you want to give me a follow, it's at JimBeaver15 on social media. And with those follows, you're going to be able to hit me up and let me know what kind of guests you want on the show. I mean, 2021, we got a blank slate. Who do you want to hear? Who do you want on the show? I am all ears. Would love to hear from you guys and see what you'd like. But, man, it's been a crazy holiday break. We ran some best ofs here on Project Action. Thanks to everybody who downloaded, tuned in, listened to those. Promise, so fresh content coming right now. So, yes, Casey Curry, our guest today. We're going to jump into that. Before we do, I got to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners right here on Project Action, as well as my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show. But do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. And you know what? It can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It is Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. You know, Geico been a longtime supporter of this show, and big thanks to having them back for yet another round, another year here. And, you know, we got a new one on board, though, on my other show, but we're going to give you a little plug about them. And, you know, we got our good friends at Manscaped, who is the best in below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement, all below the waist grooming needs. And you know what? Manscaped also, they just launched in the UK. They've gone years without using the right tools for the job, but you can be one of the first men in England to experience their life-changing products. Yes, we do have a lot of listeners to England right here. And yeah, it is definitely going to help you guys out. Trust me, I use Manscaped, and it has redefined the below-the-waist needs. That's for sure. I actually got this package they sent me in the mail. You open it up and says, your balls will thank you. Well, that is a true story right there. But they've got all kinds of rad stuff here. I don't know. They've got their lawnmower. It's their electric razor. I love the tongue-in-cheek humor with everything. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of men's healthcare products, things like that, dialed in. And you know what? You can get 20% off plus free shipping. All you need to do is use the code JimBeaver at Manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JimBeaver at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped.com. Use the code JimBeaver, and you know what? Your balls will thank you. All right. That being said, yeah, I think it's about time to jump into this interview with my good friend, Polaris Razor teammate, and one of the baddest dudes on the planet in an off-road car, Casey Curry. I would like to welcome the man of the week, my new Polaris Razor teammate, Mr. Casey Curry. Casey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Dude, thank you so much for having me on.
It's been a while. I'm trying to think back, dude. We've had you on a few times over the years. I know once was after you won the world championship at Crandon. I think we've had you on air since then at one point, but it's been a while, and I got to tell you, you've had a lot happen the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a crazy run. I'm, you know, with the decisions that we had, the decisions we've done over the years with switching up the racing and going and trying different things and going and doing rally. Yeah, it's been a wild adventure to say the least.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, dude, I want to talk about this Polaris Razor thing. We'll get to that in a minute, but I feel like there's so much gap between, you know, in your career, at least on this show and things like that, because I want to talk, like, you've been one of the few, and I know, there's a few in the industry that consistently they evolve and they change things up. And I feel like you've always kind of been one where you're always looking, what's next? What's going to be the next big thing? Where can I go to improve my program, to help my sponsors? Let's deliver value. Let's go places where nobody else has been and, you know, and try and create a stir over there. And I feel like you've been pretty successful with that, man.
I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously with that risk comes reward, and but at the same time, vice versa, right? Sometimes you take the risk and there's no reward at all, and you're 10 steps backwards. And I feel like that's kind of how my racing career have kind of gone. I don't want to do the same thing. I don't want to race the same races. And you know, we're all reaching for the same pot. And for me, it's about looking for a, you know, a blue ocean rather than trying to fight that red ocean of going after the same money, you know, pitching the same concept to everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, let's kind of go back too, because, you know, you'd mentioned that. I mean, you had a highly successful short course program. I know you won, you know, the world championship there at Crandon. I mean, you know, you were at the top of the game when it came to short course, and a lot of people, you know, would have gone from pro light up to, say, a pro two, something along the lines. And, you know, at one point you just kind of pumped the brakes on the whole short course thing. And obviously, you know, in retrospect, you were probably the smartest guy in the whole industry at this point. But, you know, I mean, you pumped the brakes on that and completely shifted gears. I mean, let's go back a few years to when that happened, because here you are at your top of your game and you just pumped the brakes on that completely. I mean, what was it that you saw that you were like, hey, we need to shift gears, we need to go someplace else? Because, I mean, you foresaw something that not a lot of other people did.
Yeah, my biggest thing was we won a championship. I won a couple world championships. You know, we won a lot of races and we were very blessed to have the partners who were. And, you know, for me, when I started seeing the way that the series and the sanctioning bodies were ran, I truly wasn't a fan of what we saw. And, you know, for me, now I look at it, it was the biggest blessing ever that, you know, instead of sitting there and talking crap and wanting to be negative Nancy, you know, I just made the decision to go and take it, that opportunity and try something new. So, you know, when it came time, there was a couple partners that I had that I remember crystal clear going, like, talking to some sponsors going, these are the decisions I want to make, and if you don't like it, I'm going somewhere else. And literally, they were telling me, oh, it's going to be the end of your career. And now, you know, it's basically been 5 years since I made that decision that, you know, now some of those partners are asking me for me back, and, oh, we want to work with you again. It's going like, man, it's crazy how 5 years ago I was the biggest idiot in the world, and the decisions I'm going to make are going to put me in the gutter and take me out of racing. And, you know, I feel that, really, with everything going on in the world, that, you know, short course is gone now. I mean, it's not gone, but it's not in a good position for new sponsors, and hopefully they get that resolved. But right now, it's just not the best situation to be in for a racer. And you know, like, I felt that going into doing off-road stuff and trying to race and conquer the Baja 1000 and the Mint 400, really my thing was that woke me up when I wanted to go do some rally, and I started dabbling in rally around the world. Was when you start traveling anywhere outside the United States, there's no one that knows what short course even is. There's no one that knows what these smaller events are. And you start realizing that when you start traveling, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I need to go out and try to conquer events that people in the world can recognize. The Baja 1000 is one of those events. When you start going around the world, that's where people are like, oh, wow, we know what the Baja 1000 is. That's a big race. And that's when I was like, okay, we need to do that. But it's like, I want to do Dakar. I want to go figure. No one's won it. I know nothing about it. And, you know, linked up with a team and took the opportunity to learn and, you know, obviously got successful at it quick. We won a bunch of world rallies. I won rallies in like 7 different countries. And, you know, then when we went to Dakar, things worked out where we were able to get the victory there. And, you know, that's where I realized that, you know, to be successful in off-road, you got to be obviously at the top of your game, but you got to try to live differently than everybody else. So, you know, at the same time, all that's going on, you know, I have 3 full-time guys that work for me just doing media and content. So we're trying to push out all that we can to show the lifestyle that we live.
Yeah, well, you know, and talking about that, you know, I let's go back to the short course transition, because I feel like it was a kind of a bit of a homecoming of sorts to you, because you kind of at that point in time, Jeep became back into the picture. I mean, obviously people think of, you know, Rocks Jeeps, your family's last name. I mean, it's kind of iconic in that industry. Did you feel like, you know, moving from short course to some of the desert and the Jeep type stuff, I mean, that was a little bit of a coming home for you?
Absolutely. The funny thing about that was, it really, where it all came down to was I was sponsored. I was with Factory Nissan for the first 5 years of my short course career. So when Nissan pulled out, I was like, man, I'm not going to run a Nissan body if they're not sponsoring me. So I was like, talking to my dad, I was like, well, shoot, I still have all the good sponsors, but I'm like, I'm going to build a Jeep body on this thing, and I'm going to put a Jeep body in my short course truck, and I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to go after, you know, the market of what, you know, what the family business is all about. And from that moment is when it opened the eyes that, man, there's a niche out there that, you know, I need to captivate on and really focus on that no one else has. And that's when it begun. Like, as soon as I put that Jeep body on my short course truck, all of a sudden I had new partners wanting to reach out. I had new opportunities that I've never seen before. And like, the ball just took off in a way that I was like, man, I want to ride this and enjoy it, because really it comes back to what I love. It comes back to my family, my roots. And at the same time, you know, I wasn't getting any sponsorship really from my dad at that time. But if, you know, obviously as a family man, anything I can do to help my family out, that's what I was all about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you know, how has that been? Because now you've become, you know, to me, you think Jeeps, you think off-road, you think Casey Carey, you know, and obviously, you know, it, you know, at that point in time, you were Jeep, and then all of a sudden the UTVs came into play, and you've been, you know, a huge, you know, focal point of the UTVs, to the point you just, you know, you went to the Dakar Rally and won in a UTV. But, you know, kind of take us that transition, because, you know, at this time you're moving into Jeeps, and I know I made, it was about 2016-17, I kind of made the transition into UTV type stuff. And you kind of added that to your quiver kind of in that same point. You started kind of dabbling in that. What did you see on the UTV side that was like, hey, I need to have my hand in this cookie jar too?
You know, the biggest thing with the UTV market for myself was, you know, when I say King of the Hammers, I truly love the transit. You know, I love the challenge of the King of the Hammers. I've had terrible luck there, but really love the King of the Hammers. And, you know, when every year, it's kind of the only race I've actually really raced besides UTV World Championships that I just love. And when I went out there and just absolutely had a blast at the Hammers, I was actually driving a, you know, Kawasaki Terex before, you know, I don't even think at first there was only a Polaris 800 out there. Yeah. And a Yamaha Rhino. So we went out and I just loved it. And from there, you know, what you can do in a UTV, it's unbelievable. And for the cost, you know, it's significantly less than a Jeep. And you're going to get way more speed, and you're going to get way more capabilities out of a stock unit. And now, you know, looking at 2021 and, you know, even driving the new Razor that I'm in now, it's phenomenal what you can get for the buck. And, you know, for me, that transition from, look, if I'm going to go do extreme rock crawling in Jeeps, well, shoot, I want to do the same thing in my UTVs. And, you know, for me, I took that niche of, once again, I've never raced anything. You can look at my deal. Besides racing rally, I've never raced UTV. I have no interest in racing Best in Desert Score. There's no interest in that for me. And for me, it's just about enjoying it and literally having fun with my family and going out and ripping razors around and having a blast.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously you talked about kind of looking at things globally and things like that kind of blip the radar. And obviously you see Dakar Rally. We all in the off-road industry see Dakar. There's nobody in this industry that would turn down a ride in the Dakar Rally. But I look at that and I know the expenses to go over there. I've talked with guys that have done it. We've seen a ton of Americans go over there, and nobody's been successful. I mean, Mark Miller arguably, you know, had a great run over there. I mean, Robbie Gordon's had moments. I mean, we've had guys like Ryan Arciero, who I respect the hell out of, gone over there and didn't have success. You know, Menzies, BJ Baldwin. We go down the list, you know what I mean? And there's been some big names do it. Your approach, you know, how did you approach this? Because you did it differently, one. Two, you found the funding to go there, which I got to give you props for. But three, I mean, you're the first guy, you and Ricky, to be successful over there.
You know, the biggest thing for myself was, you know, obviously the first year I went, you know, I did have a bad co-driver, and or not a bad co-driver, just we didn't mesh. And I learned the importance of that. And really where I learned the importance of having a co-driver that mesh was, you know, having the right trainer. You know, like Ricky Brabec became a friend through just riding at the races. And then from there at home, we started riding together, you know, and him letting me train with him and Jimmy Lewis, it really elevated what we were doing. We took and concentrated on exactly how we were going to do this and approach it. And I'm like, I have a way of like going and doing things my way. And yeah, one of the things that I felt that gave me the competitive edge is that I took a lot of time and development on with the shock side of it and on the Fox side. And, you know, Fox came out and did a bunch of testing with me here in the States. We did a lot of spring changes. We did a lot of valving, and we really focused on making the car work good in all conditions. And to me, I feel that's where some people miss. And I know that Minzy's frustrations was that he wasn't allowed to do that with his program. And we all know that Robbie's program kind of gets thrown together last minute. And I felt that, you know, I took everything that I learned from everybody and took that upon myself and felt that I focused where I needed to kind of get the car to be right before we went. And it showed. I felt that like last year, I felt that in gnarly conditions, the car just worked very well. My co-driver got me through some pretty crappy situations. And, you know, when it came down to going fast or going slow, we were able to communicate together and really address, you know, the situation in front of us to get us to the front.
Yeah. Well, and I know Mia is somebody that watches at home and kind of, you know, obviously I follow you on social media. We've known each other for years, but I'm watching and kind of last year, kind of the thing that blipped my radar and went, wow, Casey's just not an American going to Dakar. Casey's an American going to Dakar to win was when you went to, September, October, they had the rally in Morocco. And you went over there and you ran that. And I was like, I know a lot of Americans who've gone to the Dakar rally. Not a lot of Americans have invested enough to go and actually do that as a tune-up. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is the real deal. This isn't like a splash, oh, we're going to do some social media, Casey goes to Dakar. Yeah, this is like, no, Casey's going to Dakar to win. You know, to me, you don't make that massive investment to go to Morocco if you're not planning on absolutely destroying the field at Dakar.
Yeah, so the actual thing is funny about that is like last year we went to Morocco, we went to Abu Dhabi, we went down to mainland Mexico. We did four other rallies last year on top of that. They're just, once again, because they're kind of out of the limelight, you know, it's just not things that they really get hyped up on. And but you're totally right. Like going, doing that, believe me, the stories around what it takes to go compete in a rally is pretty unbelievable. Like we flew over, it's like a 9-hour flight to get to Morocco. It's a 12-hour car ride to get down to where the bivouac is stationed. And it's truly the most non-pleasant thing you'll ever do. Like, there's not a lot of enjoyment of, like, you know, you're not driving 3 hours down to Ensenada and eating tacos. Like, we were literally 9-hour car ride, 12-hour, 9-hour plane ride, 12-hour car ride, get down there, do testing, scrutineering, you know, the bivouac, yada, yada, yada. And then you race for 5 days, drive 12 hours back, you know, then a 9-hour flight to get home. So, to go do these type of rallies is like, it's serious. And that's why I feel that a lot of Americans, everybody wants to do it. But man, when you start looking at it, analyzing what it's going to take, it's like, dude, it is a tremendous amount of work. And on top of that, like financially, yes, to go do Dakar is like, for me, it's literally my racing budget here in the States. What it takes to run 2 years in the United States just to race a 10-day rally in Dakar.
Yeah, that's crazy, you know. And, and obviously, like you said, you've got an entire media crew, you've got everything back, and you've approached it the right way so you can actually – I tell people all the time it's about guaranteeing ROI up front regardless of how you finish. Now, obviously, you're kind of like the golden goose where you have the ROI guaranteed with the media you're going to produce, but you're actually going out and winning too. So it's like, you know, it's a double whammy there, you know?
Yeah. No, you always, you know, I always prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So, you know, in preparations of we're going to have the worst race ever, I want to be prepared in a way that, you know, obviously that we're not just going to go home and completely ghost the event and that we're going to have a story to tell and create a video and all the Instagram to go with it. So, I mean, yeah, we absolutely have a strategic plan, whether it goes bad or good, to attack it. So it's just, obviously the car worked out in my favor, and, you know, which actually is funny because it makes the videos way worse because it's a very, very stressful chess game of going, you know, that no one knows about, that you're playing this game of how fast you're going to go depending on where you finish. And then, you know, like, then you got to play who starts behind you, who starts ahead of you, time splits, fuel stops, who, you know, keeping splits at time stops, because there's no race radios are in the car. So there's like all that's going on. So you're like, dude, and also they want to do an interview and you're like, dude, I don't even want to talk. I'm like, you got all this stuff going on inside your head trying to go and win this chess game of a race, because that race blows. I mean, I've won the Baja 1000 three times, and I'd rather race the 500 4 days in a row than, or four Baja 1000s in a row than go do Dakar. And it's truly a unique situation to be in with that much pressure.
So you guys are down there, you know, at Dakar, and, you know, and everything's going on. You know, at what point do you go, you know, and obviously this is a 2 week long rally, but at what point do you see things and go, man, we got a real shot at this, you know, and does that put some added pressure on you? Because you enter, you want to win, and then the thing starts unfolding and you're going, oh man, like we got a real shot here. And that's got to put just an extra level of pressure on your shoulders, man.
I say this every time we've been in this situation, like you know how to race. And like, this, the only way I can do it to any American is go, it's the Baja 500. You're at race mile 400. You have a 20 minute lead. Everybody else is running, but you have 20 minutes on second place, and literally they're going to freeze your time, but they want you to pull your helmet off and they're going to do a 25 minute interview with you. So how do you put that emotion? If they did that to you, everybody, your anxiety would go through the roof, because they're going to sit there and ask you, what are you going to do after you win? Are you excited to go home after you win? When you win, what are you going to do? Right. And it's like, could you imagine? The only thing I could think that'd be similar is like them stopping you at the Baja 500 and literally saying and asking you questions with your helmet off, and you need to be cool, calm, and relaxed. And it's like, it's hard to do.
It's like, yeah, it's like ninth inning of the World Series and the pitcher's getting ready to go out there and asking him, what are you going to do after you win, you know, or something, or throw a no-hitter or something like that. Yeah, it's just a total it throws your mind in a tailspin, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, because like as soon as we done on the last day, you know, we had a 45-minute lead, which is a very comfortable lead. But, I mean, man, one accident, 45 minutes is gone.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, and that's the thing. Everybody and their mom is, you know, they're – you know, you have the way the car works is so different than any other form of racing, because yeah, you can go to the press conference and at a score race or best in desert race and get, and you know, do the little deal there. At Dakar, there's, when you finish the stage and you're not even to the bivouac yet, you've already been interviewed like six or eight times, and then you get to the bivouac and there's 25 more interviews before you can even go to bed or do a briefing with your team. So it's like and the amount of questions that come out of them are obviously they're not hoping you make a mistake, but they're interviewing you for the worst and for the best. So it's like, it just makes the pressure that much more.
Yeah. So that being said, obviously you win Dakar. I mean, you know, obviously you won it with Ricky, who is, you know, a good friend of yours. I mean, that's huge. I mean, how was that coming home, where, you know, two guys that are really good friends both walk away victorious on the global stage, winning the biggest off-road race of the year? I mean, that had to have been huge, man.
It really was. And dude, Ricky is a great guy. He deserves it. I mean, more than anybody. And it was a phenomenal experience. Like, you know, having the national anthem played in Saudi Arabia with a huge American flag on the podium, you know, obviously it's the first time in Dakar history that the national anthem has been played during the ceremonies. So, you know, there's all kinds of complications, but there's ways to win the rally in classes. But to win a category has just never been done by an American. So there was a bunch of stuff to go behind that. And it was truly an amazing experience.
Yeah. So that leads us into this year. Obviously, things kind of hit the fan with COVID. I know, you know, there's a lot of reasons why you're not at Dakar now. To me, it's even weird we're doing this interview right now. But, you know, it truly is, you know, the timing of this thing. And a lot of people listen to this, you know, a month or two down the road and you know, they'll kind of what. But let's not get into the politics of it, because I kind of know the politics of things and things like that. Let's be more forward looking. Obviously, you're not done with Dakar, correct? I mean, you know, let's say we're definitely probably going to see Casey back, right?
Oh, yeah. So the plan is to go back. You know, there's lots of politics involved, obviously. But, you know, there's also a pandemic in the world. And, you know, I have two little boys and a wife at home. And, you know, to me, you know, forget all racing aside, is that I look at it, you know, I am a family man, and, you know, I went and conquered what I set my goals out to do. And my goal was to win Dakar. It wasn't to win it over and over and over again. It was to win Dakar. And to see where the world is and to see where the politics are, you know, I just felt best that to not get myself wrapped up in something that isn't my primary focus. You know, it really was to focus on my family and to take care of what's going on here. And, you know, like, you know, there's an election going on right now. And, you know, I didn't want to be out of the country while that's all going on, whether it's a good move or bad move. I just felt that for me, it was best to take care of my family. And, you know, I am, you know, working at Courier Enterprises now, doing a lot with Courier Enterprises. And, you know, the pandemic has made our business, we're really busy, but it's really hard to get parts. And, you know, I want to be around to make sure that I'm focusing on, you know, obviously taking care of the family business and making sure that things are moving in the direction I want them to move. And, you know, all that shuffled in, and all of a sudden the opportunity to join the Polaris Razor team and looking at new opportunities came. And I felt that, you know, talking with them that, hey, let's do everything we can to be ready for 2022.
Yeah. Well, and that being said, obviously, you know, that's the big news, right? You're part of Team Razor now. That opens up a lot of doors. Obviously, we know Polaris has got, you know, their hands in, you know, in Dakar. But, you know, there's also, they've got their hands in a lot of different things. I mean, I know, you know, you said you're going to be running King of the Hammers in a Polaris Razor. Obviously, there's opportunities in pretty much all facets off-road with the brand. I mean, you know, kind of opens the door. Obviously, you know, you've got your stuff in the full-size vehicles. I know you want to continue to do. But, you know, what is ahead in 2021? I mean, you've conquered pretty much every major off-road race, you know, there is here in North America, and obviously you've conquered Dakar. I mean, what's next for Casey in 2021?
So the only race in the world that I've never won, actually truly the only thing I've never won, is King of the Hammers. I finished second and third, but I've actually never won it. So I'd like to win the King of the Hammers, but I'm going to do the Hammers. We're going to go do the Sonora Rally. That's my January or February, March. We're going to go ahead and start testing and getting our Razor dialed in for Dakar. We already have it at the shop, and we're literally already addressing what we can do to figure out the program. And then, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to literally just go have fun. I'm going to go out and we're going to just go drive and create content and see what kind of trouble we can put ourselves into and, you know, what kind of trails we can conquer. I feel there's obviously the UTV market's on fire right now. And we're going to go out and we're going to explore. I'm going to go find places that no one's been. We're going to go do trails that everyone talks about, but no one's done. And, you know, we're just going to go live and try to have an absolute blast doing it. And, you know, like one of the cool features, you know, with all the new Razors and the capabilities that, you know, the technology they've put forth with the Razor is pretty unbelievable. You know, now with all the navigation systems incorporated into the dash and the shocks being all basically everything electronic, making it comfortable in all different scenarios, is that, yeah, you're right. I'm not racing. I'm not going to do a lot of it, but boy, I'm going to show the true capabilities of what a Razor has and all the upgraded features that, you know, they're capable of. We're going to go take it and try to basically use them all.
Yeah. How, what time, when are you sneaking out to Johnson Valley? Obviously, I know you're going to go and put in the work out there. How early are you going out to the lake bed?
We'll be out there. I'll be there 3 days. I'll basically be there twice a week from next week all until the ham. So, I'd like to test at least 10 days or before the actual Hammers week. So, try to put some miles in.
Yeah, so looking at what's going on at Dakar before we close out, man. I mean, obviously, our Razor teammate Seth Quintero, he's doing pretty damn good over there. You know, what's your take on what's happening over there right now?
I think, you know, I think they're doing good. I mean, it sucks to see that they've had issues to put them further back. Well, in the overall ranking, the category has gotten very unique, and I don't really understand it. But there's a, you know, that light SUV versus SSV and. But yeah, I think, I mean, they're doing good. He's definitely stepped up to, you know, a rookie and going out there and being able to lay it down like he has and being as consistent as it's phenomenal to see. And, you know, for me, I'm glad to see happening is that, you know, Wayne and Kristen are there. They're new with new cars that were basically put together last minute, as far as like, they literally got the cars done right before the race. And, you know, they're going there, they're getting homework done, and they're actually finishing stages. And, you know, for me, that is what they're going to come home with and go, these are all the things we need to fix. These are the things we need to address. These are things we need to do better. We have 12 months. The cars are now there. We've actually been, we analyze, we, you know, we take all that information and we figure out how to go back and do better for 2022. So for myself, I feel, you know, I think they're all doing a great job. I, you know, they haven't been there as a team. It's a new team. You know, everything isn't going to happen overnight, and it's very competitive over there.
Well, Casey, man, it was, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure, I know I'll be out at KOH a bit, not racing, but I'm sure I'll see you at a racetrack at some point this year. And
awesome, man.
Yeah, stoked to have you in the Razor family with us, man.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I'm excited to be a part of it. And, man, we'll, the journey just begun.
Man, good times to Casey Curry. Like I said, this dude's accomplished, as you can see from that interview. And, man, awesome stuff. What a way to kick off 2021 with Project Action with Casey, man. Great interview. We're going to get back to those. Got some big blockbusters coming at you guys, you know, very soon. We got some really good stuff lining up, some big plans for 2021. It's going to be a huge year, so watch this space. That being said, if you want to watch this space, at JimBeaver15 is the best place to do it. Subscribe over on Apple Podcasts, not only this show, but to Down and Dirty Radio Show as well. Leave a rating and a review. It helps us out, and I'll throw it out there like I have in the past. If you throw your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body review on iTunes, when I see it, I will follow you back on social media. That is right. You want to follow for me? That's the easiest way to get it. And don't forget, get 20% off and free shipping with the code JimBeaver at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code JimBeaver. And, you know, we got our friends there at Geico. And whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. It's that easy. Thank you guys once again for supporting the show. I will be out at the Best in the Desert Parker 425 next week at Contingency. If you find yourself in the Parker area, hit me up. I would love to meet some of you fans, and definitely be good time to meet you guys. So yeah, we are going to sign off for today. We'll see you next time right here on Project Action on Podcast One.